Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
WGN. 6:41, Monday morning house call time. Dr. Kevin Moss is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. How you doing this morning, Doc?
Pretty good, Bob. How about yourself?
Well, I'm looking at these questions from listeners, and I think the number one inquiry we're getting now is, when will the Moderna booster be approved?
So this is a big week for both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. So they have turned in data about boosters. Those will go to the advisory committee, the advisory vaccine committee, this week on the 14th and 15th. They will put their recommendation out to the CDC, and the CDC will make their recommendation on the 21st or 22nd. So it'll be very interesting for a couple reasons. One, if you remember what happened when Pfizer put theirs out, the advisory committee came back and said, boosters should be accepted. The CDC said, well, no, we're not going to, but then we will allow teachers and healthcare workers. The advisory committee came out and said, no need for boosters. CDC came out and said, well, we want teachers, jail workers, healthcare providers to get that booster. It'll be interesting now with the advisory board having all three potentially either being yay or nay, what the CDC says. And the curveball that Moderna is going to throw at us is Moderna's booster is going to be one half the strength of the regular Moderna vaccine. So now it's going to be a little bit more of a logistic headache for all the pharmacies, physician offices, immediate cares.
I was reading about some studies suggesting that a COVID-19 exposure effectively serves as a dose of the vaccine. What's your take on that?
Well, you wish it were that clear cut. You know, an exposure that ends up with an asymptomatic infection that ends up with an antibody response, absolutely. But if you had COVID and I talked with you and we were within, but I never got infected, my immune system certainly is not going to turn on to a point where we'd have anywhere near the protection of a single vaccine. So really, it depends on the exposure and whether the exposure actually ended up with an asymptomatic infection.
I was talking to a few friends of mine who have had the virus, and they were pretty much asymptomatic, mild symptoms. But after weeks, and in one case, more than a month, they still are having issues with coughing and some fatigue, no sense of taste. In fact, one person I know has their taste intact, but he told me he doesn't crave coffee anymore in the morning. Now he wants tea, and he doesn't want sweets anymore. So actually, I wouldn't mind that symptom. But have you heard about some of these different kinds of lingering symptoms?
Oh, absolutely. We all have to understand that a lot of our appetite is by the sense of smell and then obviously the sense of taste. So if those are impacted at all of a sudden that morning coffee, he doesn't smell that, he doesn't crave that. So it's interesting how that has hit. The other part with the people, the individuals who, you know, are still kind of feeling fatigued and having some lung issues, a lot of the lung issues will totally repair and get back to normal. But the fatigue issue is one that we're seeing more and more in these long haulers, the long COVID people, that, you know, we're starting to look and try to figure out what we can do to treat those or what we can do, obviously, to try to prevent those. But we're finding that those are the infections that are not from the people that got hospitalized and were very ill, but they were the ones that were in the mild to moderate symptoms that actually treated themselves at home, no need for oxygen. Those guys are the ones that appear to have more long COVID than others.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. And I take it around here, as is the case in most of the country now, hospitalizations down, deaths way down, cases down.
Well, cases are down now. We've been holding kind of steady at Northwestern, but we've been dropping a little bit. The deaths are kind of still staying the same, and the reason is it's what we call a lagging indicator. In other words, individuals that were hospitalized 2 and 3 weeks ago are those that are still struggling, whether they're on ventilators or ECMO, whether they're being treated aggressively. Those, you will start to see the death numbers drop here, I would hope, in the next couple of weeks. And the number of cases is interesting again, mainly because there's so many home tests now that we don't have an accurate number of how many people are being tested, because those who test at home don't obviously report those results. But it certainly looks like we're hanging on to a slight decrease and hopefully going into an area where vaccinations are up, and then enough people with natural immunity are going to slow this illness as we enter the winter.
It's our Monday morning briefing from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Another question we see a lot here from listeners, Dr. Most, is like this one that someone texted us. My daughter had the Pfizer vaccine when she was about 4 months pregnant. Is there any data as to how much of her COVID antibodies have passed to her newborn? Also, how much continues to be passed through her milk?
Yeah, so if she did it at 4 months and completed it, we know that breast milk does transpose a lot of different antibodies. So everyone has to understand that the importance of breast milk for a child, for an infant, is not only nutritional but also great for their immune system. And we do know that the child, or the infant, will get some protection from COVID. We don't see a lot of cases at that age, obviously, but certainly any protection we can give a newborn, whether it's for that illness or any other illnesses, is really important. So great that she did get vaccinated. That's probably one of the biggest messages that has come out here in the past, you know, 3-4 months, is the importance of pregnant females, individuals who are planning on getting pregnant or are pregnant, to get the COVID vaccine to protect themselves, because the illness during pregnancy can be very devastating.
Here's an email question for you. I received the second Moderna shot in late February. I have read that protection from Moderna lasts longer than from Pfizer. Judy wants to know, is that true?
Yeah, so Moderna actually has tested out much better against Pfizer, against the Delta variant. You know, initially they were both very close, 94-95%, but it looks like Moderna has given some additional protection. And that may be one of the reasons why that they're looking at the booster only needing a half dose strength for their booster, because they are already maintaining pretty good protection. That being said, we have to remember that these numbers are still well above the 50-60% that the CDC wanted. So even though even the Pfizer that might have waxed and waned down into the 80s and 70s is still unbelievably great protection, and the hospitalizations that we're seeing right now are almost exclusively unvaccinated individuals.
It seems like in the next month or so, the boosters for all the vaccines will get approval, and a lot of people will be clamoring to get the shot. Is it going to be widely available? Will it be easy to get at that point?
Yeah, from a supply point of view, it doesn't appear that it's going to be a problem, so that'll be good. The issue is going to be the logistics, obviously. We won't have the mass vaccination sites set up. We're going to probably push more to the physician's office, immediate care, walk-in clinics, as well as the pharmacies. The wild card is certainly going to be if the pediatric doses get approved as well. So if they get approved, you're going to be looking at, boy, a lot of demand for any vaccination sites, whether it be pediatric or adult. So I think it would be nice if we did, going into the holiday season, to know that we can slow this spread any more than it already has been slowed.
And where are we with vaccines for kids?
Vaccine for kids, you know, Pfizer has produced their data, and it's in front of the CDC right now, or the FDA right now. I would imagine that they're going to take a little bit deeper look at it than like just the advisory committee of a couple of days looking at this. So there's many people that say it'll probably be happening sometime between Halloween and Thanksgiving, which was even fast-tracked for me. I was thinking early December at the earliest, and more like early January. So it'll be interesting to see how the data looks. The initial data that had not been peer-reviewed but from Pfizer said that children got an amazing immune response. And we have to remember that in adults, what we were looking for was actually hospitalizations. That's how we monitored how safe and effective the vaccine was. In children, it's the opposite. We're actually drawing blood from them and checking to see their antibody levels because we know the hospitalization rates are so low for kids.
One more question. What do you prescribe for Sox fans who stayed up too late last night and are half asleep right now?
Well, an umbrella for tonight and money for a beer. Yep.
Kevin Most. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
That might cost more than the umbrella, by the way.
Yeah, a lot more. Yeah. That's right.